salvation and life. The Master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you've tuned into the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Luke chapter 19. Let's quickly read down to verse 8 or so where we left off last time. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And so here the Lord touches this man, he saves this man, and notice how it says here in verse number 3, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, who he was. He wants to know what Jesus is all about. He wants to know about this man. And so we have the account here. He runs forward because he's short. He can't see over the crowd. And he gets up in this sycamore tree. And when Jesus comes to it, he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide. Hurry up. I must abide at your house today. The crowd begins to murmur. And Zacchaeus speaks up, and he stood and said there to the Lord, Behold, Lord. And I love that. His reference to the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord. He receives Christ. Well, we don't know all of what Zacchaeus heard. We don't know if he's ever heard the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ before. But we know at this call of the Lord Jesus that Zacchaeus is indeed a man changed, a man saved, a man rescued by the Lord Jesus Christ. That abiding that the Lord Jesus said that he must do today was indeed more than going to his house, because this man has indeed been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes from a man curious, wanting to know what the Lord is all about, who is he, what's he doing, to a man delivered by the Lord, saved from his sins. Some may say, Jim, there's no way that could be. There's such few words there. We don't have indication of that. Well, let's listen to what's said here. Zacchaeus says, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. He wasn't commanded by the Lord to do it, but you know what? He wanted to do it. He wants to set it straight with the people that he's not been a crook. He's not a crook, and he's not going to be a crook. I think that that's the way. Others may say that he's repentant in the fact that he has been a crook, and so he makes this offer to the people so that they might be appeased at how he's been a crook. I don't see that. I think he's a man honest, but you know what? Even being honest, he's going to make good on it, that there be no doubt with the people. Half of what I have, I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man. He doesn't say, those that I've shystered, come on to me and I'll give you fourfold of what I shystered you out of. He doesn't say that. He says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. He says, if I've done that to you, come. I think his expectation is there are none, because they know, the people know he's been an honest man. He has been honest, and nevertheless, he has this repentant attitude. And I think that's what we see. I think we see honesty. I think we see repentance. And I think we see liberty on his part. Listen to what Jesus says. It confirms it all for us. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." So evidently they were nearer to Zacchaeus' house, if not there at the house during the time of the feast, the supper that Zacchaeus put on for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was no doubt maybe even then that Zacchaeus heard the truth of the Lord, the questions that he would have, that he asked the Lord Jesus, and Jesus answers. And there, maybe in the midst of that gathering, he stood up and declared what he did. And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." He's a Jew. The word of God has been sent first to the Jews. In our day, we understand that it's been sent out to the world. But in the day of our Lord's ministry, he was sent first to the house of Israel. That's who he was sent to. That's to whom he was promised. And yet the promise goes beyond the Jews. It extends to all peoples and all nations, and all tribes, and all different groups of people in the world. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes out, and he is indeed the only Savior in the world. He said, this man, even though he's a publican, he needs to be saved too. The promise is indeed unto him too. He's not excluded from the promise being extended unto him that was given by the Lord unto Abraham. He said, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he is a son of Abraham." Yes, he's a sinner, but yes, he needs to be saved too. He's not excluded for that. Listen to what he says. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This man needs salvation. Maybe it was so that Zacchaeus was criminal in his tax collection, and the conviction of the Lord came upon him about that. As I said earlier, there are those that believe that that is certainly a possibility. The reputation that the publicans does lean that way. I tend to believe that, no, this man was honest in his dealings, but this liberality comes from a man repentant, a man in need of salvation, and a man whom the Savior has found and visited his heart and his home. Jesus said he came to seek and save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost, and now he's been found. We go on here in this chapter to verse 11. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear." And so this is interesting. Being at Jericho and heading towards Jerusalem, we understand, there are those in the group, in the troop, amongst the disciples that believe that Jesus is going to bring his kingdom to bear. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's been preaching for 3 years, and this is it. We're heading to Jerusalem, and who knows what the Lord is going to do. How's he going to do it? How's he going to defeat Pilate? How's he going to take the Romans and kick them out of here? How is it that he's going to restore Israel and to her former glory, and the Lord's going to rule and reign? That's what they're thinking. That's what this statement means, that because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, that it would go from being in their hearts, as Jesus had told them, to being manifested physically in Israel, rule themselves with this Lord Jesus as king. And that was their thinking. "And he said, therefore," verse 12, "a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. So we see in this parable something that we can understand that happens often in the world, something we're very familiar with in the operation of the world. The Lord takes such a parable and explains to us and shows us a spiritual truth. And so there's this nobleman. He's going to go receive a kingdom. He's coming back. And he has these 10 servants, and he gives them 10 pounds, a pound apiece, and he says, occupy. Occupy till I come. Now understand, this word occupy in and of itself doesn't seem like much, but it is much. That's the instruction of the nobleman. The instruction of the nobleman is to occupy, to do the work that you have before you to meet the responsibility and stewardship that you have before you to meet, to follow in all in the way that I've trained you and had you trained for the work that you have to do, and take this money, this pound, and use it for my household and my work that you're a servant in, and do well with it till I come back. And so it goes on to say here, but the citizens, verse 14, but his citizens there in the region that he was nobleman of hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so there's a word from the people that they will not have the Lord Jesus, or have the nobleman rather, reign over them. So the servants are commanded, occupy till I come. And then the citizenry hate this one, this nobleman, and said, we are rejecting your authority. We are rejecting your word, and we will not have you. And it came to pass, verse 15, that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, okay, so that happened while he was away, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. And so how did they occupy? How did they do? The 10 servants, his household. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. You know what? He received what the nobleman had told him to do, and he was busy. He was busy with what he'd been given. And he said unto him, well, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, the 1 pound, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, verse 18, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, verse 20, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an... We're going to stop right there. We see the reckoning with the servants, and they've been faithful, except for this one that just renders back this 1 pound. I hate it that we're out of time for this broadcast, but that's where we're at. You'll have to tune in next time to hear the reckoning of our Lord unto this man that trusted in the earth and trusted in the world, trusted in his own thinking and knowledge, rather than the words of the nobleman, the words of the master, abide till I come. I see their time is past for now. May our good Lord bless you with the good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.